Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a Paychex company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are listening from wherever on the planet that you happen to be. With me on the phone is a returning company. Interestingly enough, it is iccars.com. And I'm so taken by their website and what they do that when I was contacted again about an interesting topic about consumers and how long they hold on to their vehicles, I decided that we would reach out. And with me on our newsmaker line is Carl Brower. Carl he's the executive analyst for IC Cars. Carl, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here with us today.
Hey, Michael. Great to be on with you and talking cars. I love it.
Well, again, full disclosure, I had no idea what IC Cars was all about, what the real issue was. I had gotten emails about, this is what's going on with cars and all this stuff. And then when I spoke to your counterpart, Julie Blackley, last month, I learned what iccars.com is all about. It is a very robust search engine for people who are seeking used vehicles. And it's quite amazing. Did I get any of that wrong? Or can you elaborate on that?
I think you got it pretty much exactly right on. I think the goal of IC Cars is to have the most comprehensive online listing of used cars. I think a lot of people feel like to find listings for used cars, they've got to hit multiple sites and make sure they don't miss anything. And there's a very comprehensive aggregated approach that IC Cars did that if you go there, you should pretty much see everything and not be missing any other cars that are out there, at least not on any of the major sites. We can't have every used car for sale online, but we have probably the widest range in one location.
Yeah, and one of the neat things about it, it is so easy to use. You just put your zip code in there, and it aggregates all of these used vehicles within your area. It's just quite remarkable. And rather than having to go to dealer to dealer to dealer to dealer, this puts it all in one place. Good stuff. It really is. One of the things that caught my eye was consumer habits with regard to keeping vehicles for a long period of time. You do a lot of the analytics for IC Cars. Is that something that's increasing in time? Are people holding on to their vehicles for a longer period of time?
We are seeing that. We're seeing vehicles that are just more durable and hold up better over time. And let's not forget, we're also seeing a steady rise in both new and used car pricing. So if you're a person with a car and you've had it maybe for a long time already, but everything's fine, it just keeps going, and you consider what a new car or even a new to you used car will cost and what the potential new loan you might have to take out and payments you're making versus a paid off vehicle that's already in your garage, I think it starts to become very appealing for a large group of people and a growing group of people to just go ahead and hang on to their perfectly working existing car.
And I would agree with that. And I know in our family, we have two perfectly good older vehicles that we've held on to, I think for now for 8 years. And, why not if you can avoid those payments? I know the banks and the credit unions are not liking that conversation, but, hey, times are what they are, right?
Exactly.
And the times that they are, when we're taking a look at the family economics all over the United States and other countries, it is sometimes maybe a good idea to put a little money into repair and upkeep. But let's talk about that. Nationwide, what kind of statistics can you give us, Carl, when it comes to what vehicles are being held onto the longest period of time?
Sure. We looked at this data and we thought it was fairly interesting because we go back basically 15 years, but we're looking for cars that people have kept for at least 15 years as the original owners when they bought them new, wow, which means you can't go any newer than 2005, right? We have to start at 2005 and go back from there. And when we did that, interestingly, the number one vehicle was the Toyota Prius, which came out in its kind of modern form. There was a Prius in 2001 and 2 and 3, but they were not, they were Japanese based cars, and they weren't really that well suited for the US market. Then there was a redesign for a US focused one in 2004. So that was really the first year you could get what most people consider as the modern Prius that they all know. And so basically that car came out in 2004. A bunch of people bought them in either 04 or 05, as far forward as we could go for the study, and kept them. So it is the most kept car nationally for original owners. By 13.7% of original owners still have their Prius from 05 or earlier, which is only two model years, 04 or 05. And that's over twice the average. The average is 6.1% of any given model has been kept at least 15 years by original owners. And the Prius is 13.7, over twice.
Wow. Why do you think, Carl?
Well, we know Toyotas, as a rule, are just super durable and quality products that last a long time with minimal upkeep and expense. So that helps it from a brand perspective. I think the reason the Prius within that brand is doing so well is because people are saving a lot of gas bills. And I think a lot of people, once they got the Prius and realized they could get, 50 plus MPG, depending on how they drive it, and they looked around at the, wildly swinging gas prices that we saw in the second half of the 2000s, I think that really kind of resonated with them. And they said, I'm going to just hang on to this thing as long as it goes. And apparently they go for a long time.
Apparently they do. That's got to be racked up lots of miles on lots of different vehicles. 13.7% of the people that bought a 2004, 2005, the Toyota Prius, still hanging on to them. That's amazing statistics. Who comes in second place, Carl?
So right behind that is the Toyota Highlander. Ah. So yet another Toyota, but now kind of going, instead of a small fuel efficient car, you've got your bigger, three row vehicle that is meant for big families to haul them around.
Are there any U.S. manufacturers? And I realize that Toyota does have manufacturing plants in the United States. I understand that. But of the big three, General Motors, Chrysler, or Ford, anybody in the list?
Sadly, no domestic brands made the top 10. There are six Toyotas in the top 10, and then you've got two Hondas and a Subaru Forester. So actually, sorry, I guess there are seven Toyotas and then three non-Toyotas. Yeah.
Wow. That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I got to tell you, Michael, it's kind of funny because we run this list on a regular basis and we get people being skeptical. Toyota sponsored this list or something.
Right.
It's like, no, these are just registration information. Okay. We can't alter, and we wouldn't alter the information. This is the registration information for original owners. So we're just recording it and running it through our data to see who's kept their cars longest. And seven of the 10 top 10 for longest kept vehicles are Toyotas.
It's amazing. Now that would raise the question, if I were a Toyota dealer, I don't know if I like that so much, because certainly people are keeping them for a long period of time, but I got product on the lot, I need to sell.
I know. And it's funny when you think about it, because that's true. You're the average person, by the way, keeps their car around 7 years. You said you were at eight, so you're just past average now. And I think more people, that number is going up, by the way. But the average time that a person keeps their new car is around 7 years. So these are over twice as long as the average now. And that is exactly the issue you raised. So does that mean nobody goes back to their Toyota dealer once they buy a car? I think the flip side, there's a couple of flip sides to that, though. First of all, if you have another family member in your household and you've got a car that lasts that long, you probably send them to the Toyota dealer when they need their car. It also helps the cars. It shows that the cars have a lot of good durability, and that reflected a low cost to own and low depreciation. They don't lose a lot of their value over time. That reflects well in some of these other studies that lots of places like IC Cars does. And of course, every time Toyota wins an award like this, longest kept or lowest depreciation or lowest cost to own, how many new Toyotas does that help sell? So you got to hope there's some balance out to all these people who will not get rid of their Toyotas and buy another one because it keeps lasting so long.
It really is amazing. I would suspect then, if these vehicles are lasting such a long period of time, and if they are as reliable as what we've been talking about, that the resale value on those vehicles must be pretty decent.
They are. And Toyota has some of the lowest cost to own, which is how much the car costs you over the first, say, 5 to 10 years of ownership that you can track. And the biggest factor in a cost to own is depreciation. People think, well, that's like your insurance and your registration and service record. Yeah, it's all those too. But the biggest single factor for how much a vehicle costs you to own that people sometimes have trouble grasping is how much money it's losing. That's a cost to you. You know, sure. If you buy two, there are two cars that sell new for $20,000 and one of them in the next 5 years loses $10,000, and the other one loses $7,000. The one that lost more value cost you $3,000 more in those first 5 years. So Toyotas hold up really well there. And then the other way to think about it too is one of the reasons they have such good resale value is because look at this list. You're looking for a used vehicle right now and you're thinking, ah, maybe I need a truck and a Toyota Tacoma. And you go find an eight-year-old one, maybe that's got a fair amount of miles on it. You're like, wow, it's an eight-year-old truck. Huh? And then you see a list like this. It's like, oh, according to this list, it's got at least 7 more years left on it. You know, mm-hmm. There are people keeping these things 15 plus years. One of the top 10 vehicles kept for more than 15 years. And this one's quote unquote only 8 years old. Maybe I should buy it. So that's one of the reasons that their resale value is so high, which helps lower their depreciation, which helps lower the cost to own.
Absolutely fascinating information. And consumers across the United States are definitely voted with their time machine and said, hey, these are the yes. kinds of vehicles I want to keep. Wow. How do you gather all of this information? Carl Brower, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's with iccars.com. How do you gather this information, Carl?
Well, we're fortunate. We have a lot of data feeds. You know, we get a lot of information from people who come to the website. As you mentioned, you know, we've got a website with all these used car listings. So we can see how used cars are priced. We can see how quickly they turn over from a dealer. How long do they sit on the dealer versus being sold? We can see what people are shopping for. So we can just by using our own data to watch the, you know, at an aggregate level. Of course, we're not watching any one individual. We don't, you know, names and addresses. We're not doing that. It's just the aggregate behavior mm-hmm. of all those millions of people that go through our site. We can get very good data from that. Plus, then we can get a certain amount of data feeds that are available to a lot of automotive entities from, you know, dealers, from manufacturers, from government, you know, government records and stuff like that. So the trick with data, more so than ever, is as much knowing which data to collect and then how to combine it in a meaningful way for consumers in our case. You know, a lot of people collect data for industries or collect data for government purposes. We're collecting data to help consumers discover things like which cars last the longest or which cars are the most popular in a given market. And we've got some really smart data people to help do that.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that is really bubbling up now, and we just had a news story about this recently, General Motors says, hey, you know, we're going to go all carbon neutral by such and such a date. I think it's 2025, 2030, maybe. And then recently, the big move towards EVs, electric vehicles, and recently the Biden administration has kind of floated the idea out there of replacing every single one of the UPS, the United Postal Service, delivery trucks with electric vehicles. This, you know, I'm not asking you to comment on any of that other than the fact that this is going to really upend the combustion market, wouldn't you think?
It is, Michael. And when you think about it, I would argue that we're in by far the most disruptive period in the history of the automobile.
I think so.
We're in a 10-year period and we're not at the beginning of it. We're into this 10-year period now. And I don't know, you know, it's going to be hard to know until we're done with it, whether we're 3 years in or 5 years in. But in the next 8 years, so we're at least 2 to 3 years in, you're going to see a shift in drivetrain technology toward EVs. You're going to see an increasing level of connectivity to cars that lets you see all these real-time information like traffic information and even having, you know, voice controlled text messages coming in and going back from your car. And then the big one, the final one that a lot of people are probably guessing already, is the self-driving car, which we will also see. Any one of those, Michael, would have been a huge disruptor if it had happened on its own within a single decade, to have this huge connectivity, to have a huge shift toward EVs, or to have a huge shift toward self-driving tech. We're having all three at the same time. So it's a big disruption right now. And in terms of EVs specifically, as you mentioned, you know, there are certain use cases where they make so much sense, and postal service would be one, right? What you want with an EV, or what you benefit from with an EV, is completely silent. That's nice in a neighborhood where a truck's driving around delivering mail. And you want a consistent route that you always know you can go back to home base and recharge.
Right.
Again, that's exactly what a mail truck does.
Yeah.
So as long as you know the mail truck route doesn't exceed the capacity of the battery range and that it will always come back to home base and sit overnight and get recharged again, EV technology for mail trucks, it couldn't really make more sense.
I think it's another one of those fascinating things that we're taking a look at, and we're watching all of this play out in front of us at this moment. And it really is an exciting time for change in the automobile industry. Now, the question is, how fast and how quickly can the consumer adapt to this, and will they be partaking of EVs moving forward? Carl Brower, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your expertise on this. It really is helpful. So thanks for doing that. And we will, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, have links to iccars.com up on our website. And thanks for doing this so early in the morning. I for full disclosure, Carl was up pretty early today. This is he's in California, and so this is a early morning call for you. So I certainly do appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely, Michael. Always fun talking cars, and we hit on some interesting topics. So happy to do it whenever you want.
Once again, that's the voice of Carl Brower. He is the executive analyst for iccars.com. Hope you enjoyed that. I know we did. We will have links to iccars.com up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, and for Carl Brower, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.